let's go to John 3:16. Since I've been using a Mac Mini, I like saying that's our launch pad. And I'm going to share, as soon as it opens up, out of the Amplified Bible. Come on, you can do it. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. Now, God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. And that needs to be our attitude, folks, especially during these trying times. We have to be there to help put things right again. Amen? Mark 11, 23. Very familiar passage of Scripture. As most of you know, if not all of you, this is after Jesus passed by the fig tree and cursed it. This is the next day, and they looked at him, and they saw that it was indeed withered up from the roots. And the disciples were amazed. And Jesus, verse 22 says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe," say believe, "that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, those what things soever you desire when you pray, believe," say believe again, "believe, that you receive them and you shall have them." The Phillips translation says, "Have faith in God. I tell you that if anyone should say to this hill, get up and throw yourself into the sea, and without any doubt in his heart, believe that what he says will happen, then it will happen. That is why I tell you, whatever you pray about and ask for, believe you have received it, and it will be yours." Like I said, these are very, very familiar scriptures, but we don't understand the importance of believing. Yeah, we focus on having faith, and there's nothing wrong with that, and we focus on confession, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that either. But if it's not backed up by believing, it's not going to work for you. And you'll wind up frustrated. The 73 Mets, how many know who the Mets are? Okay. Well, they weren't doing as well as was predicted. And the general manager had a meeting, and they were very, you know, frustrated. And their relief pitcher, Tug McGraw, jumped up and said, "You got to believe, we can do this." And that became their rallying cry. Even though they were in last place or next to last place, all of a sudden they started winning games that they should have lost. Things started happening that shouldn't have happened. I mean, they're playing good teams, a ground ball comes, that, you know, goes through their legs, and the Mets win the game, you know. And all through it, Tug McGraw, he had them all saying, "Look, you got to believe, you got to believe." Well, they won the pennant. Had the lowest winning percentage ever, but they won. And they went on to lose to Cincinnati and the Big Red Machine in the World Series, but they got there. Because they did something that was unique for that time. They believed. They just flat out believed, and it changed their whole attitude. Look at Mark 9. This is Jesus was talking to the father of the demon-possessed boy. In verse 23, he said, if you can, and this is the New King James, he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. How many things are possible? See, you need to have a revelation about that word all. Okay. That word is used over 6,000, over 5,600 times in over 46 scriptures in the Bible. And every time it's used, it means exactly the same thing. All. Without exception. Nothing excluded. Nothing. Jesus said, you can do all things without exception. Nothing excluded, nothing left out, if you believe. If you believe. You think about that. Think about all the times God said all. All things. That means there is nothing that's impossible for a believer. Nothing. You start thinking about things that you think are impossible. Jesus said, nothing is impossible. See, a believer is a person who professes absolute belief. And so I looked up absolute because I wanted to make sure I was clear on what it was saying. Complete and total, not limited in any way. As believers, our belief in everything that God said has to be absolute, complete, total belief. Because when your belief is complete and total, there is no room for doubt. Because if there's any room, if there's any doubt, no matter how small, it's going to upset your entire belief system. Because if this isn't true, then maybe that's not true, and then maybe that's not true. That's why I could not afford to let any doubt come in, regardless about what I may have been feeling. I mean, the most uncomfortable time was, I don't remember, honey, I couldn't yawn. It seemed like my body wanted to yawn, and it was like there's no breath to yawn. That was a strange feeling. But I kept believing, and then guess what happened? I started yawning. Okay. But if you're a believer and you exhibit complete and total unbelief, you're not going to consider what you have to go through. I don't know why this is flying. Not be a distraction. Amen. So you have to have absolute, unlimited belief in what God said, and then the only punctuation, the two punctuation marks you can use. You can use a period, or you can use an exclamation point because you're excited about it. Right? But that's it. And you do not want to say, I believe, but. Because that but will mess you up. Okay? I told you earlier that I was a basketball player. I studied other players. I studied techniques. I thought about it all the time. I would see people walking down the street doing things, and I would see it in a basketball situation. I did. And so when things happened in the game, my reaction was immediate. I just did what I'd been seeing for what I'd been studying. And I showed that I was approved. I knew this game. I trained myself so no matter what was going on with the crowd, the only voice I heard was my coach. I didn't hear the cheers until the end or the boos until the end of the game. But I heard my coach. Well, the Bible tells us, study, show yourself approved unto God. That's what it says in 2 Timothy. we have to study so that we know everything that God said. We have to study not just for study's sake, but we have to study with the understanding that I have to put this to use. I told you I would see things and I would immediately think about games, possible game situations and how they play out. It's the same, just like that scripture rose up in me. Jesus took away the power of these blood clots to harm me. Didn't mean they're not powerful. Didn't mean they didn't have power. He took away their power over me. If I didn't have a working knowledge of that, I could have been in some trouble. If you don't have a working knowledge of the word, you may be in some trouble because situations will happen and you won't know how to apply it. And you'll start leaning to your understanding, which is based on what you read, because I'll tell you, if you read the reputation of blood clots, it can be a scary thing. Okay. But I read God's reputation. Jesus said in John 10:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice. So we have to train ourselves so that we always hear his voice in every situation. See, just like my coach was calling out plays in the midst of battle, Jesus is doing the same thing. You know, I could be headed in the wrong direction. I said, nope, left. I have to hear it and move immediately. Don't have time to think about it and say, was that God's voice or is that me? Call up three friends. I was going and I heard this voice. You know, you think that was God? How do they know? Talk to the one who you believe gave you the word. He'll tell you this was me, or he'll tell you that was that pizza you ate last night. But see, when I was thinking about this last night, I was like, okay, Lord, I want this chair. You know, what are the characteristics of a believer? And you know what he told me? There's only one characteristic that matters. A believer believes. Period. He said that's all they need. See, the most powerful weapon that we have is not the word of God. It's our belief in the word of God. Amen. See, because the word of God is there. If you don't know it, it's not going to do any good for you. Or if you've read it but don't believe it, it's going to be useless. But if you read even three pages and you believe everything on those pages, you have power that will get you through a lot of situations because you're choosing to believe it. That's one line in the song Pastor Clinton wrote that I like. He said, when I choose to believe every word. And that's what we have to do. We have to choose to believe every word. Now look at this example. Go to Matthew 14, New King James. Going to spend a little bit of time here. Starting with verse 15. It says, when it was evening, his disciples, who is his, all right, Jesus' disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. And their position, the disciples' position was, send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, let's think about this for a minute. Who gave them the instructions? All right. So if Jesus gave them instructions, you think he expected it was something that they would be able to do? So why didn't they believe it? If Jesus said, you give them something to eat, and they look and say, well, this is what I have. Okay, people, come and get it. You don't think about only. unless you're saying, I'm only going to do what he says. But when Jesus gives you instructions, you don't say, but I don't have or all I have. You say, okay, and you do what he says because you believe that if he told you to feed them, he's going to supply whatever is needed to feed them. All you have to do is start doing what he told you to do. I mean, that's all he did. He said, bring them to me. And he blessed them. He broke the loaves and said, here. And you notice he didn't give it to the people. He gave it to his disciples who gave it to the people because his instructions were, you give them something to eat. You do it. Why didn't they believe him? I don't know. I wasn't there. But I do know that if Jesus said it, they had the ability to do it. They could have done the same thing he did. He could have said, thank you, Father, for this food that we're about to receive and start feeding the people. But they didn't believe that they had enough to do what Jesus told them to do. Too many of us don't believe we have enough to do what Jesus tells us to do. We think we're too old. We're too young. We don't have enough money. Or we have too much money. You have to stay and manage it. whatever the reason, I know some of you saying, I wish. But whatever the reason, start believing it and it'll be so. But whatever the reason, you're going to have to put that aside and realize if Jesus said it, it's so. Because what he says to us is not dependent on what we see as our own natural resources. Actually, if we're looking at our own natural resources, we're violating Proverbs because we're leaning to our own understanding and our own means. Jesus said, bring them to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke it and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So we always talk about Jesus fed the 5,000. You say, well, so let's say half of them were married. So that's 7,500. Of the married, what if they all had one child? Now that's 10,000 people. You think about that, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Because Jesus didn't see 5 loaves and 2 fish. He saw food for the people. And that's what we have to, when Jesus tells us something, we have to, by faith, we have to see it. And then act like we see it. Tell your neighbor, you got to believe. All things are possible to him who believes. See, the disciples saw that example of power and what happens when you believe, and you would have thought they got some understanding. But immediately after that, okay, immediately after that, Jesus told them, get in the boat, go to the other side, I'm going to dismiss the people. I mean, I'm going to send the people away. Because they weren't in school, so you don't dismiss. Right, girls? It says in verse 24, Matthew 14, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out in fear. And I'm thinking, what were they afraid of? Jesus said, get in the boat, go over to the other side. He didn't say, go over to the other side unless you see a spirit. He said, get in the boat and go. And if they believed what he said, it doesn't matter what you see. My thing is enjoy the show. Because, like whale watching. You get on the boat, you see a spirit. You keep going. You don't get upset. Why are you afraid? Because you saw what you thought was a spirit. Jesus said, go. That's enough. If he said, go, you need to understand that if he said it, I can do it. Amen. And it doesn't matter what's coming. But Jesus spoke to them right away. He was a good guy. He was much better than I would have been. That's why I'm not him. But he said, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Now this is very interesting. It says, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Which means at that moment, Peter had to believe that he was speaking to Jesus. And he had to believe that it was Jesus that answered him. And I thought that was amazing because first they thought it was a spirit. I mean, you mean to tell me you don't think a spirit can talk? Think the spirit's going to say, well, we can't say anything to him. He said, if we be Jesus, I'm not Jesus. I can't lie. No, if it were a spirit would tell him to come because he'd want him to jump out of the water and drown. Okay, so Peter had to believe that he was talking to Jesus. So far, he's good. But then there's a but. He walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Why was he afraid? He just saw the miracle of feeding maybe 10,000 people with a handful of food. He saw Jesus walking on the water. He himself is becoming afraid as he is walking on the water. He's not still in the boat. He's in the sea. He was walking. And then he stopped. I'm afraid. You're doing it. What's there to be afraid of? You look at the wind. You look at the waves. You know, and I've been in sessions where I say, well, he took his eyes off of Jesus. Folks, if you are a believer, it doesn't matter if you see Jesus or not. You believe what he said. Period. If I'm looking down and I see it, I'm like, this is cool. Hey, guys, you see this? On the water. You know? And you keep walking because you believe that you can, because Jesus told you to come. It doesn't matter what, folks, we got to understand. It does not matter what's going on around you if you're a believer. You should expect stuff to be happening. Because then it's an opportunity for you to stop it. That's why you got to come out on Friday and learn the authority of a believer. Everybody that's been in that session said, yep. I'm going to give me a little tambourine shake on that one. But see, it's believers that have the authority. You need to understand something. I used to get excited when I found out that power meant dunamis. And I thought dunamis was it. As I'm studying and just digging into the authority of the believer, I'm finding out exousia trumps dunamis. Because if you have authority, it doesn't matter how much power the other person has. You have authority. Period. I told the people on Friday, police officers believe that they're police officers. They believe they have the authority that the township has given to them. So you don't see them out in traffic going, oh, please, God, make them stop. The light is going to turn red soon. Please make them stop. No. They know who they are. And when it's time, they go like this. And the cars stop. If there's someone else, it's not. you guys go. You know, nobody blows their horn at the police officers. Okay. And if you decide to go by them, they're going to pull out their radio, and you're going to go to see the judge and be fined because you would not submit to their authority. But the first thing that has to happen is that that officer needs to understand the authority that he's been given or she's been given. And it doesn't have anything to do with their size or how much iron they pump or anything like that. The township said, you're in authority. They say, okay. And then they act like it. We have to act like we're in authority. And we can't let circumstances change our mind. Peter looked at the wind. He saw the seas getting rough. He probably looked back and saw the boat rocking and thinking, if they did that to the boat, what's it going to do to me? Nothing. You're standing still while you're thinking about this. You're not even being tossed to and fro. You think about that. He stopped to think about it. And he didn't go, ooh, over here and over. No. But the minute he got to the place where he felt he could no longer walk, he started to sink. Not because Jesus was playing a trick on him, but because he failed to continue to believe. And when Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith, when you study that out, you'll find out Jesus was saying, why did you stop believing? Why did you stop? You were doing it. Why stop? Sometimes, folks, we do things, and we stop, and we say, well, I'm tired. Well, you must have been grumbling while you were doing it, because my Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, so if you're outside and it's 20 degrees and you're picking up ice-covered leaves, hint, hint, hint. No, only kidding. But you can do it and be happy, or you can do it complaining. If you're complaining about it, it's going to seem like 5 minutes was 6 hours. And then after 10-minute level, you've had enough and you're packing up and leaving because you thought yourself out of it. You didn't believe that you could withstand. If Peter were a believer, he would have kept going. A 30-foot bull shark could have swum in front of him. He'd have used it as a stepping stone. He said, thank you, and stepped on and kept going. Because believers are fearless because they believe. In Mark 5, verse 35, King James, another example here. It said, while he yet spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, certain means men, people which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Just got the word, forget it, don't bring Jesus. She died, she's gone. And Jesus said, be not afraid, just believe. And he didn't let any other men follow him except for Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Verse 38, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was coming, he said to them, why make all this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Now, Jesus had a choice. He said, laughing at me. I better leave. What's going to happen if I speak and she doesn't come back alive? They're going to laugh even more. He didn't even think about that. As a matter of fact, what he did was he put them all out. He put them out, and he took the father and mother of the damsel, and they were with him, and he entered in where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which being interpreted, damsel, I say to thee, arise. And straightway, that means immediately, the damsel arose immediately and walked, for she was the age of 12 years. It says they were astonished with a great astonishment. He wasn't, because he knew once he spoke the word, it was going to happen, because he said, I only do those things that my father tells me to do. And if his father told him to do that, then guess what? It was going to come to pass. It's one of the things that God told me when we were told, Pastor Ed and I, that we were going to be ordained. He had me read Jeremiah 1 in the Message Bible. And then he says, I will make every word that I give you come to pass. So for me, the only question, what I have to do is just make sure that it's a word that he gave me and not something that I thought of. In Mark 10, I'll give you another one. This is out of the New Century Version, beginning at verse 46. Then they came to the town of Jericho. As Jesus was leaving there and his followers and a great many people, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that Jesus from Nazareth was walking by, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many people warned the blind man to be quiet, but he shouted even more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, Tell the man to come here. So they called the blind man, saying, Cheer up, get to your feet, Jesus is calling you. The blind man jumped up, left his coat there. That was the indication that he was a beggar. He left it. Why did he do that? He said, I'm going to see Jesus, I'm not going to need this anymore. Okay. Jesus asked him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, Teacher, I want to see. Jesus said, Go, you're healed because you believed. That's what he said. Didn't lay hands on him. He said, What do you want? He said, Teacher, I want to see. And the reason he was there, he got up and he went to Jesus, is because he believed if he went to Jesus, he would get what he needed. And Jesus said to him, Go, you're healed because you believed. It says, At once the man could see, and he followed Jesus on the road. Tell your neighbor again, you gotta believe. Now, some people, you need to understand this, folks, and we have to be honest with ourselves. Some of us can talk a good game. We can say all the right things at the right time, we can get very spiritual, you know, in our words and actions and gestures and things, you know, but, and you may be able to fool the people, but you can't fool your heart. And your heart knows, past all that facade, that heart knows it still is filled with unbelief. And if you're a believer, you're going to always have to maintain your faith. Period. Now, I'm going to close with this. In Mark 16, beginning at verse 14, is the New King James. Because I want you to just really understand how crucial it is for you to be a believer. It says, Later he appeared to the 11, as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Jesus, he rebuked them. Because when people said, We've seen him, they were like, No, you didn't. Maybe they felt, if anybody's going to see them, surely we would. He hung with us. But Jesus rebuked them for that. I thought, you know, that was kind of rough. But as I kept reading, I understood why he rebuked them. And he said to them, verse 15, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Jesus knew there were things that were going to have to happen so that people would understand that what these disciples were saying was authentic. And in order for that to happen, the disciples had to be believers. Because if they were not believers, folks, there would have been no signs following, and folks would have thought they were bogus. We have to be believers. Jesus said, these signs will follow he who believes. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Now, think about it. He didn't say these signs will follow those who fast every week for 3 days. He didn't say that these signs will follow those who read my Bible cover to cover at least twice a year. He said these signs will follow them that believe. That's where the power is, folks, in believing. I saw an episode once. Matter of fact, I think it's coming on tonight. of Star Trek called Spectre of the Gun. And this is where the, you know, Captain Kirk and Spock and McCoy, I think, and Chekhov, they were sent to the OK Corral to be killed in that gunfight. Okay. And Spock figured out that because nothing in there was working the way it was supposed to. It was defying the laws of physics and everything else. So Spock came to the conclusion that the only reason we're being harmed is because we believe these things can harm us. And he said, we have to believe that that these bullets will not hurt us. And he went and did the mind meld thing to everybody to, you know, to get their brains to the point. It would be great if God does that, but he doesn't. He gives us a choice. But he made it so that they would believe that the bullets weren't real. So when Wyatt Earp and his brothers came to, you know, and it, for the gunfight, they just stood there. And they're firing their guns and they're looking. Because they're firing their guns point blank and they're just standing there. Because they believed. Captain Kirk said, there can't be any doubt in our minds. Because if there's any doubt, that's enough for your destruction. There can't be any doubt. You have to believe. Remember we said it was absolute. Absolute. Nothing left out. So if we believe, and when we believe, that's when things are going to start to change. And not until. We can say all the right things, folks, but the bottom line is, you gotta believe.